Okay, so I'm in the back room of Pie and Vinyl, and very excitingly, I am joined by Turin Breaks, who are Ed.
Hello.
Hello. Ollie.
Yep, hello.
Gail.
Present.
And Rob.
Konnichiwa.
Thank you very much. We've done the register. You've played an outstanding set, a great set. Really loved the stuff that you did. And really intimate as well. A little bit humid at points, but you couldn't help that.
We were heating the place up.
tell me about the new album, We Were Here. Tell me about that, because I think there's a theme to that. Is it a time capsule? Is that kind of the idea?
I don't know if there's exactly a theme, but there's an atmosphere that we were going for that is, I suppose, we were interested in that, you know, that idea of people leaving a mark. I like the idea that humans over the years have, for one reason or another, scratched their names into things, you know.
It's a kind of legacy thing.
Yeah, or a desperation for a legacy. I like that. The kind of, I've got to scratch my name into this brick wall.
Do you think there's a kind of air of resignation about it as well? Sort of saying, you know, this is our time. This is kind of, we've done and we've passed. Or is it kind of,
ooh,
or is it less kind of
possibly
pessimistic than that?
It could be that. I don't think that's what we really believe, but maybe some people do, I don't know.
Do you mean humanity in general, or just the four of us in particular?
Well, it's a wider question.
Okay, it's the wider question.
I'll start with the four of you, maybe.
Okay, we're definitely here.
We're still here.
We haven't passed yet, so and that's, there's no resignation.
We haven't gone yet.
That's a great thing. And this is your sixth studio album, is that right?
Yeah.
So you've kind of been quite busy, really, over the last 10, 15 years?
Yeah, 14 years we've been alive as a band, yeah.
Wow. And the band's bigger this time, isn't it, in some ways? Because usually, I think, Ollie and Gail, you're, I suppose...
Yeah, we picked these two guys up about 6 months ago. no, these guys have been... These two men have been with us since 2000. So almost as long as the band's existed. But me and Gail, to be honest, even though we came up with the name Turin Breaks in 1999, we've been kind of messing around with this idea since we were about 10.
There's quite a kind of fraternity, isn't there, between the two of you? Kind of, since you were in Small Trousers, you've been
jamming away
and rocking.
Our lives have been very intertwined, you know, shared lots of wonderful
things.
Memories and things, yeah.
And most of the new album, I think, was written here in the UK, but recorded in the US. Kind of.
No, it wasn't recorded. It was almost. In Rockfield in Wales.
Oh.
It's that direction, but a bit before America.
Yeah.
You stopped
It was in the West.
Yeah, it was in the West.
It was in the West of Wales.
Yeah.
So, and musically, how do you reckon this is a different album? Because there's a classic, I think, Turin Breaks sound that comes through in the new album. Mm. And the album's only been out just over, well, nearly a week, in fact. But you know, how do you think it sounds different from The Optimist, you know, sort of your opener?
I mean, it's definitely kind of playing with a lot of the sounds that we had, that we kind of invented around our first record, and it's the first time we've ever consciously gone, what would happen if we kind of took those sounds now and made a record now? It's obviously very different as well, really. If you listen to the two back to back, you realize they're pretty different, but I think it's the first record where we thought, well, what is, you know, we really truly thought, what is Turin Breaks, what do we want to keep from this idea of Turin Breaks, and what do we want to throw away, and what do we want to be new? And it's the first time we've ever done that. You know, normally we just go head first into a record. We don't think, we just do it. And this is because we've been going quite a long time, we've kind of looked back and thought, you know, maybe we can consider what we're doing a little bit more here. And so we did. And these guys, the rest of the guys, were really involved as well, because, you know, they have a perspective on it all as well.
And it's been brewing, I think, for the last 3 years. You've been kind of writing it and pulling it together, and I guess that process has changed as well, as you've got, you know, these guys coming in and, you know, sort of being reflective, but also you want to do new things.
What do you think, Rob?
I think over the last few years, what's happened is that things have changed, you know, sort of behind the scenes anyway, like changes of management and changes of how everything's set up and how we kind of do things. And I think that's why this record, one of the reasons why this record is like it is sort of reflected in a more of a kind of gang mentality.
Because we changed our accounting system.
Yeah, we changed the accounting system. Yeah. But basically, I think it is a little bit more of a kind of group mentality, gang mentality, because we tend to do everything ourselves and everyone mucks in. So that's kind of why it's developed in that way. It's kind of almost like a sort of, artistic development of what's gone on, you know, around the practicalities. So it's kind of fitting in a way.
Well, let me ask you about that accounting system, because Time and Money, I think the first single
it's
off the album.
It's all about accounting.
Is it a protest song against bankers and kind of corporate greed? It's got a very, let's just say, Reservoir Dog style video.
Mm. So the video definitely is. I mean, the video is pulling those elements out of the song, I think. Those elements are definitely in the song. It's not really a political song, to be honest, but it's a it is a bit of a reaction to, like, you know, what's happened in the last few years. And there was a point just after the government got in, there was a bit of fear that they were going to kind of kill the colour, you know. Mm. That's the only way I can really describe it.
Yeah.
I remember when we were kids under Maggie Thatcher, and there was a point where it felt very grey. I was very young, but I remember the colour just didn't seem to be there. The money for the colour didn't seem to be there, you know. By colour, I just mean the creative side of the world. And there was a bit of worry about that, you know. So I think that came through in that song a lot, you know.
And it opens up a bit of a dilemma, that song, because it's, you know, if you could have more time or money, what would you have? What kind of, you know, more time.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel? Time, money, what do you...
Mixture of the both.
Mixture.
I'll go for both.
I'll have
time and money.
Yeah, all the time and all the money you've got.
One of the other tracks that sticks out for me on the album is No Mercy, which is a real, I think, I suppose you could call it an anthem in some ways. You know, it's a real ballad.
Is it track of the last couple of days? A few people saying the last couple of days. Weird.
Would you say it's a track that's about an attitude, or is it more about an environment around it?
I mean, I don't really know what it is exactly. I know where I go in my own head, and I was kind of in a place where I go on holiday, where I go on holiday with my kids, and it's just outside of London, and there's a very special feeling about it, and it does make you feel, when you're there, you really feel like you're in a bubble, and you really feel like the world is a bloody dangerous place outside of this wonderful little bubble.
Mm.
And it just bubbled up in a song, you know. It has very universal themes that can be applied to a lot of things, but for me, it has a personal place that I go to. It's a space, it's an atmosphere. Most Turing Break songs are more about atmospheres than stories.
I think it's a very passionate song. Mm. I mean, that comes across quite a kind of slow burn passion, if you like, but I think that comes across. Tell me about the physical release, because the record, very excitingly, the vinyl record, is a colour splatter edition, which is, for people that don't know what that is, that means it's coloured vinyl, okay? Yeah. And the album cover is very interesting as well. There's a kind of cosmos, isn't it? What was the feel behind that? Was it kind of, it looks quite arresting, the image. It's quite sort of, but quite familiar in some ways.
It's a great artist called Sam Chivers, who we've done a few things with, some posters and artwork in the past.
Mm.
And Sam is, he's got a real look about his stuff that we just respond to straight away. And it seems to somehow tap into what it is we're feeling, what the music is doing. And so we kind of went to him and gave him free rein. We said, this is the name of the record. This is kind of, you know, what we're trying to do. Off you go. And gave him a little bit of music and said, off you go. And he produced that. Obviously, we liked it straight away. And there was no argument. There was no...
It was a brilliant exchange between artists. You know, it was like, here's some music, here's a title, go. And he came back and we were like, yep. That's the image.
Like, could you just make it a little bit
more
green?
Could you de-pink it a bit?
Yeah, it was all just done.
Interesting for what you've said, you know, about kind of colour and swirls and bubbles. It's that kind of thing. It looks kind of, I'm doing an injustice, but it's a kind of stirred paint pot, isn't it, in some ways?
People just look him up on samchivers.com, I think it is, or something, and
he does really good stuff for, like, the new scientist, but he does loads of... He's just a really good artist, but he does all these swirly, psychedelic kind of things.
There's something also slightly sort of almost like 50s-like about
some of his work
as well.
Retro and futuristic.
All those elements. It was very... It was kind of old-fashioned and very modern, and weirdly said a lot about the band right now as well, I think.
Thank you.
Now, I want to ask you a question about strings and about guitars, because your sound is quite unique, I think, in terms of, you know, it's a very accentuated string sound, if you catch my drift, as it were. You've got some mandolin plucking going on this one, which is quite...
It's not on the record, though.
Is it not?
No, I'm just... Strictly not. I just live for the moment with the mandolin.
For the moment.
It's here and then it's gone. You can't contain it. It can't be contained in a container.
So when you...
It has to exist in the now, and then in the then, it's gone.
Was
you
it
know,
actually
that's how
it is. Disallowed, was it? Or
was it banned?
Was it was banned, yeah.
It might have been banned.
There was a banjo at one point, and that was like, that was day one, no banjo, no mandolin.
I played two notes, I think.
Everyone went, no.
So what about your guitar sound? Have you got favourite guitars you take out? And Gail, you play an interesting looking guitar, kind of quite a long cutaway guitar today.
Yeah, that one was custom made for me, apparently. By a man in Lewis called Alistair Atkin.
Canterbury.
Apparently he lives in Canterbury now. Yeah, he must have moved.
He moved. He moved.
That's important for the warranty, I think. That.
Yeah. I'm tracking down. We've gone for a few guitars. Ollie's got a new Guild, which has changed everything. Mm-hmm. So he used to have his massive one. Now he's got his tiny little guitar. Yeah, I guess it's kind of important because the acoustics are what's pushing out a lot of the sound. So.
Played a lot of. We have this nice old J50 Gibson J50 that we used. We've never used live, but we used it loads on the record, didn't we? That was kind of on every song, I think, pretty much.
And you've perfected, I think, something that's very difficult to master, which is the slide guitar.
Yeah.
Slide is, you know, a very, very difficult thing to...
Yeah,
it's hard to control. And also, I noticed the slide itself, you put on the right finger. If you put it on the wrong finger, you get it stuck on for days.
I've learnt that
as a novice.
It's hard to pick the nose of a slide.
It gives a great sound. Just moving on to some of your live performances. You're doing some in-stores like here at Pine Vinyl, but you're doing kind of smaller, kind of intimate gigs, but then you're going on quite a big tour from the end of October and towards the end of the year. And you've, I think, been in Australia, haven't you, just prior to this tour. So... In terms of the venues, you've got ones that you prefer. You prefer kind of, you know, where you can sort of mingle with the audience, have a cup of tea with the audience, or, you know, because you've done sort of big stadiums.
It does change all the time, but there's a kind of perfect. I think there's a perfect place to see Tune Breaks, or for us to play at least, which is somewhere that's big enough, you know, for it to get the full width, you know, of what's going on, but it's small enough for it to feel. Like, you know, you're really there and it's an intimate experience, it's a real one-off experience, and sometimes the venues are just perfect and it's like we're all together with the crowd, we're all going off to Venus or something, you know.
So just a few dates that you've got coming up. You've got Bristol coming up on the 1st of November. You're playing Thecla, which is a boat, I think. So have you done that one before? I can't remember.
Done it lots of times,
yeah,
actually.
It has water sort of bilge, I think they call it.
They do.
Of, you know, occasionally sort of running up and down through the dressing room if it's a particularly rocky day.
We'll get your wellies on for that one. You've got Cardiff coming up on the 3rd of November at the Globe. Later in the month, you've got 16th of November, you've got Cambridge playing at the Junction 1, and High Wycombe, you're playing the Students' Union.
Mm-hmm.
It's been an exciting one.
An unusual gig.
Experimental.
That's experimental.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, I think. You're playing Shepherd's Bush Empire on the 20th of November, obviously in London. Oxford on the 21st at the Academy 2, and in Brighton at St George's on the 23rd of November. So you've got quite a busy period coming up. Now, I suppose the easy work's done now. You've made the album. You know, you've just got to take it out. That's what...
I like that. I like the way you think. I'm going to try and think
channel
like that.
That
Try and do it that way. So, in terms of what is coming next, once you've toured, obviously you might do other tours. Have you got other records in the pipeline? Are there things that perhaps didn't make this album that you want to kind of work up? Or...
Oh, God.
I like to ask a tricky question.
I mean, there's always... potential music in the pipeline. I think because things have gone quite well this week for us, we're definitely kind of having little conversations about what should we do next. It's very, very early for us. But you never know, there might be a few side projects as well, because there often are these days. And I mean, Ed just made a jazz record, didn't
he? I did, that's true, yeah. Almost without meaning to.
Tell me about that then, an accidental jazz record.
It's just some tunes which I wrote and some jazz musicians that I know and a studio that was available, and I brought all those three things together and ended up with a jazz record.
What's it called, Ed?
It's called Why Worry.
And where do we find that, Ed?
Your front room.
In my front room.
Oh, well, come round and have a look.
Yeah,
well, come round and have a look.
You can ask me for it. If anyone wants one, just ask me and you can get one.
I might borrow a tape off you or something afterwards. So I've got two last questions, two important questions. Okay, the first question is a pie-related question. Because we're in Pie and Vinyl, I have to ask people this question. What pie have you gone for and have you got a favourite pie?
I'm afraid at the risk of... I don't like to divulge the contents of my pie because I don't like to upset either the fox-hunting types or the vegetarian types. I like to keep everybody guessing, so it's a question mark pie for me.
He's a very deep pool, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
I'm working out.
Heavy.
cheeseburger for me.
Yeah, cheeseburger for girl.
What we term as a roadkill pie, which is, I think it's some pheasant and some rabbit and some what they call game meat. I think it's been scraped up, hasn't
it? It probably has.
And I'm all
in a humane
that.
Way. No,
well, not. I don't even know about that. No, really.
Okay. A27, I think.
What's humane about eating meat? You know, there's not much humane
not
stuff.
Really.
Both.
No.
But you know, yeah, scraped up off the what was it?
A27.
Yeah.
The A27 part. And Ed, what have you
steak and kidney.
Steak and kidney. These are important questions. The last question is. Live, you've done some interesting cover versions. So I've seen you certainly do Wicked Game, the Chris Isaak song, which is an interesting song to choose. But you've also done a bit of Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
So have you got any other weird cover versions coming up?
We've done Pavarotti.
Famous, well, it's not Pavarotti, it's Tune, obviously. Ness and Dormer, which we did for XFM, I think. Which we tried to do live once, and Ollie nearly fainted.
It's hard work.
Yeah, during the sound
check. I'm not an opera singer.
No, exactly.
At the end of the day.
And, yeah, so that was quite interesting. We never
I mean,
that
takes them years to train to sing that way, you know.
It's good to weave it in, isn't it? Something like that. A little bit different. So, anyway, it's been a real pleasure to catch up with you and to chat with you. I've been a fan of yours for a long time, so it's a real pleasure to come and meet you and have a chat with you. Best of luck on the tour and best of luck for the album. And let's keep our fingers crossed that it gets number one in the UK charts.
That's what we're all expecting. Yay. It. Yes. We're all fully expecting it. Either that or zero, I'd say, would be an even better number.
It's a round number. It's a round number. Yes. Okay, Turin Breaks, thank you very much.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Concrete, I'm glad to be back home. Tear apart.